And
warning, this book may contain graphic material. Anyways, no, I was telling some friends about kind of the rock deal, and and I was like, yeah, I thought about buying this sweatshirt that had Oklahoma Route 666 on it, but then Mom threw a Bible at me. No.
From across the dimension. You know? Like, your mom woke up from the couch. No!
Hi, this is DC McGannon.
And this is C. Michael McGannon. We are the authors of Charlie Sullivan and the Monster Hunters and of the new title, Chaos Subsidiary.
And we are listening to Comic Pop Library with you.
Another episode of Comic Pop on the Road, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Lenny,
Jonathan,
and today we are going to continue our trip to Oklahoma. We visited about Starbase Studios in our last episode. Now we are on to Tulsa, visiting with DC, Michael, Holly, and Nathaniel McGannon.
McDaniel. This is a whole new family.
Okay.
Good times.
But we're going to... How do we want to start? Do we want to start on...
The toy store?
Toy store.
Oh, we can do the toy store. Before we left Oklahoma City, we hit the toy store. So Toy Base 10 is
Shout
what it's
out.
Called. So, yeah.
So cool.
Don't go have buyer's remorse is what we learned.
I don't.
I honestly don't.
We learned that Jonathan is a compulsive buyer. He can literally be in any store and buy something.
There's just so many things he
likes. It's so impressive.
Yeah.
And then he just turns around and is like...
And then I felt like my father, because I was in there walking around with my arms crossed, and the guy's like, you're a very closed off person. I'm like, I'm broke. There's a reason for this.
Well, I was like a kid in the candy store. I was like, I want that. I want that. Mm-hmm. I want that. Yeah. I want that.
You know, everyone says that like it's a good thing, but you know, that's like a description of hell.
That's true.
Kids in candy stores, because I've been in a candy store when I was a kid, and this is what happened. Hey, mom, can I? No! What about the no? What about, I told you only one thing. Yeah, but what? I don't care. You already
it's
picked
like
it up.
A kid unsupervised after hours in a candy store.
Right. Where it's locked, right. And he's the only one in there, but he can get in the cases.
Honestly,
yes.
I never found much joy in candy stores because I don't like a lot of candy, so I was just like, well, look at all this crap I hate. Oh, yeah. There's some nuts. Yes.
Satan doesn't like angels either.
But Toy Base 10 is kind of an optical illusion. You go into it and
it looks like a shed.
Small little place. Then you get like, in there and it's woof.
It's just like rooms and rooms and rooms.
It's not
toys.
It's not wide. It's the deep. The depth of it is just mind-blowing.
And it is another dimension.
It almost feels that way, yes.
Anyway, it's so like after I spent so much money there, I'm like, I'm going to go to the car. And the dude is like, come back in after you leave your bags in. I'm like, nope, I'm sitting
That's
in the car.
That's because he knew. And then I think because Dad and I bought some stuff too, and we got a good deal on him, and I think it was because he knew we were friends with Jonathan, and he felt bad. He was like, well, I suckered one. Might as well give it to the others.
Yeah, I like the idea. I like the concept. Yeah. It's a really good toy store for the knowledgeable toy enthusiast, and then it is a bit... For the new guy like Jonathan, for example, it is a bit intimidating and kind of frustrating because if you want to know the price of something, it is naturally
$3,000. You just got to go in there.
And the thing is, some of his toys are probably worth $3,000. So it's and he's very serious when he tells you this. So it's like, really, this is the one, huh?
I picked up one thing. April picked up one thing. Jonathan picked up. Couple
Seven
of different things.
Lynn didn't pick up anything.
I picked up a TARDIS.
TARDIS.
And I picked up
a Batman that he opened.
Well, a Batman that I opened that Lenny ended up taking to his kid. So, yes, you did. get something from the toy store.
There you go.
Aiden
did.
Aiden got something from the toy store. I didn't get crap.
A prehistoric Batman.
Did you get any Superman stuff?
I got a Superman.
Okay, good. Because this would have been weird if you didn't.
Yeah, I got a Superman. And then
it's like a love affair.
Shut up. And then I got a couple of things for Richard.
Wow, that really worked. Hang on a second. Say that again.
What? Oh, no, I'm just not really concerned on the topic. Sorry.
And then we drove down the road.
My uncle called and tried to pawn his child off on us.
Yeah.
You guys, no,
we didn't need that.
You know, you didn't know what was coming because we diverted it.
Yep.
Thank you.
Well, anyway, about my prehistoric Pac-Man, you know, I hung it up on my wall, and the package, not the whole package toy, but the little thing where you hang it up at.
Naturally.
And it fell down.
What?
So I had to pick it up and rehang it up. But you know that little cardboard piece
that goes
in front of the toy?
Yeah.
It went all the way up to where the toy is at.
Oh my God.
I cannot get it down.
Jesus, Jonathan.
Well, you know, now that the package is tore, you might as well just take it out and play with it.
No.
No.
You guys are such toy Nazis.
Because
I made him because we were in the car on the drive to Tulsa, and he said, hey, do you think I should open this Batman? And I was so hesitant, but I was like, look it up first and figure out the value of it and figure out if the value is going to go up or what, or if it's just, you know, regular toy. And if that's the case, then you can open it, but open it very nicely and very gently.
Yes, ma'am. So then we go down the road for a while.
Dad gets off.
We go on a toll road from Oklahoma City to Tulsa. We're going to jump to there. That's where April's at.
That's
now.
That's really messing up my audio. I don't know what she's doing, but quit it. It's really screwing
up
my
headset. That's so funny.
But we got on the toll road and hit some construction. I was like, oh, and I saw a sign, you need to pay toll. And I was like, oh, got to pay toll. And, oh,
and
hell.
Speaking of hitting stuff, we damn near hit a car.
Wait, what? When are
we at? That wasn't until the end of the trip.
Oh, yeah, I guess I'm getting a little
ahead. You're getting ahead of the trip.
Sorry, I didn't know we were going through it chronologically, guys. Don't let me foreshadow.
Oh, my gosh. We're discussing a trip. Calm down. So we're on the toll road.
I really thought we were on the toll road hitting the car. I thought that was on the toll road.
No, you I just stopped.
Oh no, it was the guy. It was the guy that swung out, but we didn't get near hitting him, and like went across five lanes. That's what happened on the toll road. I knew there was some bad traffic,
but we got to Tulsa, got to a hotel.
Ghetto was all get out.
I'm not gonna say hotel.
More like motel.
Yeah, motel's a nice word.
Ghetto motel. It was
brothel
so funny.
Is more probably a more accurate word.
I don't agree with brothel. I'm not gonna.
Oh my god! But it had the brothel. Biggest beds. Yes.
Yeah, really crappy lobby, shitty coffee in the morning. The carpets outside look like they have had recent murders. But the beds were lovely.
The beds were king size, and they had
king size.
I would not want to put a
had a lock on the door.
Oh yeah, and there's a lock
and,
on the door
and a beer opener.
And there was also a beer opener on the board. Yep. Yeah, so that.
Which is class. As all get out.
Yeah, that's all class.
You want to tell them the story about the. The lady who made the coffee for you?
Yeah, sure. So this very wonderful, I wake up very early in the morning, and we didn't have to be up early, so I got up, and no one else was up, and I go downstairs, and there's no coffee made, so I'm like, you know, where can I go to get a coffee? Oh, there's no coffee made? I'm sorry. I'll just make you some here. So the lady makes me a coffee, and she's standing
there. Did she work there?
Yeah, it was the lady that worked
there.
Well, I mean, I think she worked there.
I don't know.
She was working, that's for sure. Let's not use this hotel's name anywhere in this podcast.
No.
Anyway, so this working girl, we'll call her that. She, and I didn't know this, but a few hours earlier, Jonathan had woken up from a bad dream.
I'll tell that story after.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, so I'm down there and, she makes, this coffee and everything's fine. And, you know, I'm standing outside smoking a cigarette and she says, I'm like, so you're originally from Tulsa, just making conversation. And she's like, no, I'm from California or Nevada or somewhere. And
I've only been here 4 years. Of course, most of that was in the penitentiary.
I was like, whoa.
And the security guard had a canine. He was not a cop, but he had a canine anyway. Like, that, I don't know what that means. Like, this is just a vicious attack dog. Don't screw with me. Or was he like, because he certainly wasn't a drug dog, or he was just a very bad one. Because I could have done that for them. It was in the room across the hall. And he's, yeah, I don't know. There were lots of lecherous fellows around there, yeah, and scantily, honestly, clad ladies.
Honestly, as ghetto as everything was, the one thing that really actually got my goat and got me mad was when you get on the elevator, you go up, you know, and when the doors opened, you go out, and the hall, the little cube area that you stepped into, made you feel like you wanted to go right. But really, you had to go left, and I hated that so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was so mad about that.
Yeah, I think they call that OCD.
It is. So,
I think I know why this
That's
lady...
not what bothered me about that area, but yeah, that area also bothered me. The fact that it would be really easy to murder me in that area really bothered me. You could go right if you want to be, you know, gang molested. Yeah, you tell your story. His story is better than mine.
I think I know why.
Do we need to do a preface before he does his nightmare? Did the night before?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I thought we were going to talk about because of the chronological. This is a trip.
We'll see where
But then
ahead.
We jumped to the
Jonathan wanted you to tell us.
We went to a haunted house before the whorehouse.
No, we didn't.
We went to a whorehouse, haunted house, whorehouse.
Well, I mean,
before we slept in the whorehouse, we went to a haunted house. There you go.
I guess we didn't know it was a whorehouse yet. Because
when we got into town, we contacted DC and we're like, want to meet up? Not. What are we going to do? And they were at work. Holly was at work late. She wasn't going to be able to. Then he comes back and says, well, Michael and I are going to be going to Haunted House. You want to join? And I looked at April, Lenny, and Jonathan. What do you think?
Literally, the first thing I said was like, I don't have a costume.
Yeah.
April wanted to get a costume for the Haunted House.
Costume. Yes.
I like costumes.
Yeah.
But they showed up, and we left April in the car when they showed up.
They did.
Made fun of her, talk crap. Yeah, it was great.
I had my earbuds in. I was on Vine, so I didn't even know they were there.
Best part of the whole trip.
And then they get in, they're like, wow, way to be rude. And I was like, what?
Well, that's what they think.
Excuse me?
We're like, yeah, she just doesn't like you. No.
And Richard's over there a fun joke. Defending her the whole time. He's like, oh, no, she doesn't like standing out in the cold, so she's in the car.
I had no idea. I would have
And we're
stood.
Like, no, no, no. She really saw you coming and said, ew.
I had no idea.
But it was great to see DC and Michael. They were really gracious and warm when they met
They're
us.
They're great people. They are great people.
But, of course, then we traveled halfway through Tulsa again to get to the Hex House that Lynn swore.
He saw it going to the hotel.
I don't know what these people are talking about.
It's right around the corner. Up in that mall. We turn around.
Had you not got us so lost on the way to the hotel, maybe I wouldn't have seen it.
But yeah, we'll get their info out. The Hex House is what it was called because it was so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I would recommend anyone going to it.
Just got to wait an hour and a half to get in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and me and Michael talked about it when we got in the second line. If we would have known what we were doing, we probably should have went to the
second
other attraction
first. Yeah.
And
then wrapped a rack around.
Well, we were watching it move, and it was a smaller house, and it was moving faster.
And
I was getting kind of jealous, like, why are they going? I thought that was the fast lane. But the other side was the fast lane. That was the other, because we went through that line in 10 minutes.
See, my thing was, I liked how we did it, because the first house was, it was longer, but it was also more intense for me, not for Jonathan. But
the first house was okay for me.
What I'm saying. The first house, to me, was a lot scarier, so the second one was kind of a wind-down house for me.
The first house was like a professional haunted house, something you would see at like a theme park.
Oh, goodness, it was intense. And they touched you.
Oh, yeah.
And the second one was trying to be that, and they were, you know, working really hard.
But
and they just didn't have all the props. They probably hadn't.
Well,
had
and
the
it'd been a long night, and they were just over.
They were probably tired. Yeah,
yeah.
But I just know as we went through, like Lenny knows because I was right behind him. Like I fight with humor so much, everything. So, like, there was this part when the first house, we go in through the strobe light area, like a maze. And as we start getting there, I was like, this would be a bad time to find out I'm epileptic.
And then I felt like I was having an epileptic fit.
So yeah.
Well, yeah.
And the second one kind of sucked for me really bad because everyone kept pushing me into this other group. And the other group was getting all the gags. So I'm watching this lady jump out of nowhere at these other ladies.
So he knows it's coming.
And then she goes and just kind of looks at me. And I'm like, you got a cigarette? And I'm like, oh, that, I think your makeup's falling off. And then, yeah, and the people behind me, of course, are like, go, go, go. And I'm like trying to look at stuff and like I'm trying to slow down. And they're like, go faster. So the worst part was we come to this room of doors. And I've always had this thing about being in a room of doors.
I was so pissed.
How cool that is. You were pissed. It was your fault. She pushes me in there early, like while they're still in there.
I didn't know they were in there. I was just naturally progressing. And then, they were the ones that were slow.
Yeah, they were very slow. And then they were having a great time, by the way. And they opened the door to leave, and they all left. So
I saw the door. I saw the door.
April sees the door and pushes, and I'm trying to open up another door to see.
And I'm just like, oh, hang on, no.
But you realize that sucks, right? That was not the right thing
not
to
for
do.
Me. Not for me, it didn't.
He just wanted to go.
Yeah, I know. That's why I kissed my ass.
Jonathan was ready to go during that one, too.
Jonathan tried to run past me twice.
Lynn made a mistake.
Jonathan got this
mistake.
Thing with clowns, and the big majority, because the second house was a carnival-themed house, so the big majority of it was clowns. And Jonathan flipped shit, and it was so funny.
And then you know what? He's
saying I made a mistake, but next time I'm just gonna let you. He was running straight at a wall. I mean, people out there, I could see 2x4s and his head going to connect in 4, 3. I grab 2, 1. It would have been that quick, and like he would because he was not. He wasn't thinking. I saw his eyes were wide open, and they were dilated,
he was
like. Moving. He was just getting out. And next time I'll let you hit the damn
wall. I just remember DC saying, I just saw somebody running circles in this room.
That was Jonathan.
I was only trying to protect you, mate, but next time don't worry, I'll let you hit the wall.
I just remember in the first house, there were those two guys in the strobe maze or whatever. And they were all up on me and they were like touch on my hair and thing, and they're like, oh, you smell good. And I'm just like, thanks, it's cotton candy. That's my thing. And then on the second house, when the guy was, you know, telling us about it, you know, like the carnival burned down and the guy has gotten a new taste for the newbies, which is us. And I was like, I knew not to wear my cotton candy.
Which was great. That was very funny. Oh, I like that a lot.
And at the end.
Right before that, he was like, hey, man, how many in your party?
Yeah.
I know you're tired, but I paid, like, we paid a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, a lot of money.
But
it was fun.
It was theme
and
park.
This is their first year reopening from moving locations as well. So I do give them props for being that intense.
Oh yeah,
with just the first year.
Yeah, they were all apologizing that it was half finished and that it would be better. And
it's not scary.
And it was good. But the guy at the first door really was in character, and after I paid all this money I didn't have. I'm very poor. And then I stood in line for an hour and a half, and I got to complain with some really cool guys, DC and Michael, and talk about a lot of stuff. So it was really a good thing for me that we were in line.
And we have to mention Cheyenne was there as well.
Cheyenne. And we talked to those guys and got to spend a lot of extra time with them that we wouldn't have gotten to if we'd have been a quick line. So that was cool, actually. But I still got annoyed. I had a jacket on and a hat, and when we got inside the building, we weren't moving, and it was all close, and it was tight, and I was hot.
I felt great.
And it smelled like butt, and it was just terrible. And, you know, I'm, like, kind of annoyed by the time we get to this guy. So he does this really good character. And then when we go through this really awesome experience that I've never really gotten to do anything that good before at a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lynn had the lead. I had the... back in.
Dad was just like, oh, that's neat.
That's cool.
He wasn't amused at all.
Dad was literally the most worried about this haunted house in general, and he was the most chill.
When we got in there, he was like, oh, okay.
Wow, that's
impressive. Oh, that's cool.
Well, I had to calm myself so I wouldn't have a heart attack.
I could not. My thing is to keep moving.
I'm getting and to be this old man. I got to control myself.
I wasn't. I mean, it's like I told you before. I wanted to be scared. I enjoy that jump, that fright. And that's something I don't achieve with every attempt. So.
I was already there, so I wasn't having none. I did.
Okay, but I got to finish this because I was telling a story. The last sentence is, I came out and I told DC, totally worth it.
Yeah.
The end. Okay, now you guys can interrupt all you need to.
But I know there's three young ladies behind us that they were kind of doing what April was doing in the second house. They were trying to push me on, and they were screaming constantly. It seemed like.
See, they pushed us through there too fast. We should not have met other people. That totally broke the experience for me.
And well, had it
been the second one for the price by itself, lame.
The thing that broke me from the second house was, to me, clowns in general aren't scary. So the neon stuff that Jonathan got, nothing for me. But and also, it could have gotten cool in the dark maze at the end, except that. When the maze is literally too dark or complicated where the haunts are pointing the directions to you, not scarily either, they're just like, go that way. You know, and then the same person jumps out of a window later, I'm not scared of you.
And go out the window.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, thanks for earlier, you know, it's not scary anymore.
Well, and they hand me a candle about halfway through the second house, and it gets really dark after that. So I understand why.
I was just pissed because I didn't get a candle.
Yeah, she was mad she didn't get one. I'm like, don't feel bad. It doesn't work. And then we come out and they're like, oh, we need our candle back. I'm like, here, have it. It didn't work.
And they were like, I go to the
dollar store, and I'm not talking about regular dollar store. I'm talking about Dollar Tree, where everything's actually a dollar. You can buy like three of those candles for a dollar. So like, I'm really glad you got your 33-cent candle back, but it didn't work during the ride, so thank you.
Well, the coolest gag I saw was the guy that jumped out and ran across the wall.
That was so cool.
That was the coolest gag.
Yeah.
So he was on like a...
some sort of rig.
Yeah, he was on a rig, and it was actually like a ladder.
His torso was cut off, which is so cool.
It did, and he looked really cool. And then, he was literally on the side of the wall like Spider-Man, crawl, running, whatever. You know, he wasn't on his feet, obviously, but... And I think he was just on that suspended rig, pulling himself on those ladder. I mean, some of those people were working.
Oh, yeah.
They were really working. And that was in the first one, right? Hex House was this first was, one we're talking right. about was actually Hex House.
Hex House, yeah.
We don't remember the name of the other one.
But
I can't remember.
I also liked at the very beginning of Hex House where they had, you know, where you usually have the vent panels and everything. Yeah. They had people popping out of there. And so, and like,
oh, and then grabbing your legs. I'm just like... oh, hello.
My thing, hello. You know, it's the jump scares that get me. Like, we were in this bedroom situation, and I was behind Lenny, and I was like, Lenny, move, 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 because there's a girl sitting on the bed just sitting. And I know when that happens, something's going to happen, and I just want to be far enough away to where it gets to other people.
And I just wanted to be going slow enough that I didn't want to hear about her. I knew she was there, and I just wanted it to be organic, and that's no.
And then he wanted to walk up to her.
These fools needed to be behind me, and they needed to be like I was their shield.
Yeah,
like, protect me from scary stuff, but don't enjoy it yourself.
It's kind of the thing.
It was really lame.
Because that's my thing. I mean, like, of course it was creepy and everything, but. Because, you know, like, we went through the kitchen area, which is where the guy was crawling on the wall. You know, that stuff doesn't really creep me out. It's the actual actors themselves. Yeah. Because that's where I was like, ooh, they're actually touching on you. And they're getting personal.
They could actually kill you in there and drag you away.
Touch my hair, and I'm like, get off. I just washed this.
And they would follow you sometimes out of the room.
They would. Sometimes you would know
about it, sometimes you wouldn't. But the clown room was kind of funny. We talked about they were getting tired because we were basically the last run through almost.
Mm-hmm. And no, we weren't. Room. That's the bad thing.
They had like an hour more.
Yeah, I felt so bad.
And they were going to be.
We walked through, and they were cackling and all the maniacal cackling that these clowns were doing. And this one gets right behind me, keeps cackling, and then it just slowly just kind of. And he turns around, goes back.
Forget it.
I was like, okay, we're tired tonight.
But I know that was the thing, because I know, like, as tired as they were with us, I remember being in line and looking behind us. And the line was still clogged up. You know, we weren't like last ones to go through. I mean, there was
and we got through the second house around. We got there at 5 p.m. the second night, and we got to bed about 1:30 in the morning, the same exact time. So we got home from the haunted house probably at like, or back to the hotel at like 1:15.
And that was Lenny's whole thing was, I just don't want to go to bed at 1:30 again.
And here we are, pulling at 1:30.
But we didn't watch House Hunters.
And no, the thing is because I knew what was going to happen, I was going to be up at 6:30 anyway, and I was. And that's not your fault. That's just me. And yeah, I go to bed at 1:30 and I'm still like up.
I wouldn't have traded it for a world. Like you said, visiting with DC and Michael and Lion, that was so much fun and enjoyable. So.
My favorite part of the second haunted house is we went through the bathroom and the girl in the bathtub, get out of my bathroom! Why are you in my bathroom?
I just want to brush my teeth, girl. I think my favorite part about the whole haunted house, not the haunted houses themselves, was in line. There was this couple in front of us that were just so pissed off at each other. I don't know if they were angry at each other. Either way, they weren't feeling it. Like, neither of them was talking to each other, and they were like, no contact at all.
Notice them.
Oh, God, they made me laugh so much.
Wait.
But then after the haunted house, of course, we went back, had a night's sleep. And the next morning was visiting with the whole McGannon family, DC, Michael, Holly, and Nathaniel at the, what is it, Jonathan? Let me see your shirt.
Punk flea market.
Yes. Are you kidding me? It's on the front of your shirt and
Tulsa,
you just turned
punk
around.
Rock flea market.
It's on the back of the shirt,
Let
too.
Me see your shirt. No.
There it is.
You have changed
Can you see
that.
It?
You have okay, changed I that got shirt that. Since... Sunday,
yes.
Okay.
No, Lynn, I came in the same clothes that I wore.
Well,
Sunday.
It looks a little dirty.
That's
so.
What I do. My clothes are always
it's
dirty.
Punk rock. Yeah. No.
That's what it's I was. That's what I was going with there.
But no, we thought it was going to be a bigger building
venue.
That it was going to be in.
There were so many for the amount of vendors there.
Well, they told us 50 from the year before,
plus the people in attendance. Way too. They needed more room. Oh my gosh!
See, I was envisioning being able to sit behind the booth with the McGanns, visiting, helping them with whatever they needed help with. Nah,
we couldn't even talking to people that came by. Then because we know
even
about
when
their
I
stuff,
even when I was standing looking at stuff like that, I might buy. I still felt like I'm in the way. You know, move.
People I always feel that way when I'm at an event where I'm not there to, I mean, when it's like a shopping event, like something like a flea market, and I'm not there to shop. I feel like I'm a waste of space. And I mean, really, most of it was just people wanting to show off their wares, and a lot, I'm sure it wasn't no big deal. I mean, we paid the cover to get in.
Yeah.
Right. So we had every right to be anywhere we wanted to in there. But this one guy had the stage area, and he had... like,
perfect.
All these books up there. Oh my
God. Yeah, and he had a lot of books, and they were just like books. Just like they were punkish books, I guess. He was a punky dude. They were pretty angsty. Pretty angry. It emanated with anger, real anger. He was a great guy, but Michael, like, he was kind of like, how do you get that real estate? And I'm like, you're right, you have a pretty big spread here. If you were up there, you would really be getting some people to come home, because people were going up there just to get away.
But that is,
because we were kind of being cattled through there, from all, and it was like that for everybody that was going
and
through
there. And it grew very quickly, because we got there basically right as it opened, or just a bit after it opened, and it very, very quickly filled up.
You know what freaked me out? Where all the kids, like, and I'm not just...
Oh, I love that.
Punk rocker kids, punk rockers have kids, everyone knows that. But these kids, like, they're totally like, they look like yuppie because they didn't dress up. Their parents dressed up as punk rock for the punk rock flea market, but they just wore their normal clothes that their parents buy them, normally.
Yeah.
And I was like, look at this little, like... preppy kid in here, like he's like, oh look, I got this new Johnny Rotten album. He's all
one of the funniest things I saw was there was a, and they were probably in their late 30s 40s, but that one was a vendor. It was a lady, and she turned around, here comes this other lady, and the one lady that was the vendor was in a t-shirt and jeans, but this lady that came up, she was about the same age, had her hair dyed really dark black, unless it happened to be her natural color, I don't know.
Sure it wasn't.
But she was
she Chinese?
No. She was in full gear. And the first thing, oh, hi, how you doing? Did you go to that community meeting? And I was like... this does not look right.
See you at the PTA.
I think it's so cute, but I also liked how they, you know, they're advertising full bar in the same breath that they're like, and kids room for the children. We got coloring books. And yeah, I thought it was so cute.
I don't know where they were going to do it, or but it was going to get loud and out of control, and it would have been a great time. I really wish we could have gone to the after show. We couldn't stay all the whole
through that event. I also like the grandparents that showed up.
You know, the original punkers are about grandparents. I mean,
they are,
if you look at some real, like, real hardcore 70s and 80s punk rockers, mm-hmm. especially like the British ones, like, they are old as shit now. Like, they come in and their their skin's leatherier than their jacket. Yeah, they probably just did lots of drugs too, but, you know, then they're all just like old as hell. And I'm like, man, you're really tore up. But that's punk rock. Like, punk rock is really old now. It's, yeah, it's weird to grow up and get, you know, close to middle age or whatever, and then like the stuff that you thought was, wow, this is really innovative and on the
fresh stuff is all of a sudden
it's all old now. It's yesterday
and coming back around.
Yeah,
that's the fun thing to see, everything coming back around.
Oh yeah.
But I think it was one of the pictures that DC put up on Facebook afterwards was Nathaniel in the coloring room.
Mm-hmm, that's so cute.
Had a jar there right beside him, said tips. So I said, oh, how you putting Nathaniel to work, huh? How much tips did he make that day?
Should have been like, more than me.
I think that their Star Wars versus Star Trek play worked very well.
I put stuff in. I'm Star Wars.
Yep, I did Star Wars.
Yep.
So they made money off you goons.
Yep. They did. $3 each, I think. We put in the same amount. We didn't even know it.
We
must be related.
And it was weird because I'm not normally like that, but I felt very compelled to spend money there. I was just like, you know, and it was really hard to only, I didn't have very much. So it was really hard to even like get through that. Because there was a lot of original artwork and stuff mm-hmm. that you're never going
to
see.
I don't usually buy artwork. Like, I'm usually not attracted to it.
Yeah, she bought one because it's just so original, like, kind of disturbed.
It's so
and just,
cool. It's sitting on my dresser. Oh, it looks at me when I sleep.
There's some pretty cool stuff over there.
You know, the one thing that actually surprised me when I was going through the records that I went through and I saw Johnny Cash, I was like, does this belong at a punk rock?
Shut up, Dad.
No, that ringtone don't belong in the punk rock.
Anyway.
Yeah, we were so hard.
I think Johnny Cash could be okay there. I think that's okay.
Honestly, but that was cool because I did look. Yeah.
Are you saying is it punk rock music? Mm. Well, in a way, yes.
Is
in
it?
A way, yes. It was definitely rock music, and he was definitely a punk in his era.
I thought he was country though.
Fine line. He walks the line on that one.
He's part of the country group.
Laugh.
Walks the line.
No, I get your joke. You're okay. What the fuck did you just say? Oh my god.
What?
I guess I missed.
I don't know. I was just busy on my joke. I was busy. I was busy on my joke. What?
Explain to him.
To what? I was busy.
You know,
I said,
he toured with Elvis, right? Like, Elvis didn't want to go on after him. You saw the movie. I mean, he was not country.
Well, he fell into that a little bit.
Yeah.
When he was 90?
Well, there was a group, Johnny Cash, David Allan Coe, Waylon Jennings. I can't remember some of the others. They were kind of like outlaws. They called them outlaw country. Because it didn't really fit in with country, but it didn't really fit in with rock.
I wouldn't call Waylon Jennings country either, and maybe I'm just crazy.
And they called it outlaw country, and that's kind of where it was.
Like Hank Williams.
I've always seen some country as country and rock overlap in a lot of areas. I mean, not to the point where you're like, that is definitely some rock country right there, you know. But just enough where you can see it shifting both ways, you know. And I'm not saying every rock song is like that, or every country song, but there are some
Lynyrd Skynyrd
and some group, you know,
Southern rock. You could almost say that's, you know, Lynyrd Skynyrd is Southern rock, which could be say, well, that's rock, or it could be a
shut up, Dad. Turn it.
Or
it
could
silent.
Be the you know, into the country area.
I just threw up in my mouth.
It's all right. It's all right. But no, but I was looking through the records and everything.
I've nothing against country music, but it is a thing, a specific thing.
Yeah, but there I was
and Lynyrd
looking
Skynyrd
through.
Is not a part of it. That's like totally like my opinion, man. I'm
no,
sorry.
Yeah,
but
they're
but they are recognizing the country field though, and a lot of country fans like Lynyrd Skynyrd.
That's because Lynyrd Skynyrd rocks. Obviously, a lot of country fans like Lynyrd Skynyrd. A lot of straight people like Elton John, but that doesn't mean he's a country singer.
Well, you have CDB, you know, and
yeah,
they're an outlaw band, almost southern rock, more than country.
I think so that Johnny Cash. I think that the thing is the problem is the music that I listen to by Johnny Cash is from an era before there really was country music.
Yeah,
and it is definitely rock and roll. That is what it was called. He toured with rock groups, very, 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 very famous rock groups like Elvis Presley. June Carter was a country singer, and she also toured with him. And she was always a country singer. And I guess he eventually did. Yeah, he got into some, but his final song was "Hurt." So
it was,
and he didn't write it.
No. But He destroyed it, knocked it out of the park, made it his song. Almost.
Now, "Hurt" was probably the best Nine Inch Nails song ever. So, like, when he took it, he took the, like their best, Trent Reznor's best, and then, you know, he really. I mean, he's Johnny Cash. He really filleted that song and like gave it a new one. So I know what you're saying. He definitely owned it. But then I listened to people talking about it. Like, people that should know something about something. And they're like, no, Johnny Cash wrote that song right before he died. I'm like, that's really because I was singing a cappella with my friends in the 90s.
He performed it.
Yeah, he performed it.
But he didn't. Right.
Well, I knew that.
Yeah, you know, but yeah.
And they didn't, obviously. And that's okay, but it's just like
But I did like that, going back to the fest. It was, I did look through the vinyls and everything, and obviously rock everywhere. But there were hints of other genres in there, you know. It was kind of like they just threw it all in a box and said, hey,
also,
go
I'd
for
like
it.
To say, I don't think that Joey Ramone would appreciate you saying that country couldn't be at a punk rock flea market, man. Punk rock's about real feelings, man. So I didn't actually look through any of the vinyl because I've never owned a record player, A, and because I can't afford a record, B.
I know.
Sometimes they give them away.
I'm sure I would have expected, you know, a lot of different genres of music. There was a lot of different stuff there. It wasn't just...
When you go to a table and it's full of Tupperware, okay, this is at a punk bar.
I really liked the I like the ladies that were selling cupcakes. They were cute.
And see, I think that some people went for the, we got to, you know, cuss and be as punk as possible. But that's very cliche.
And there were others just chilling.
That's very wannabe punk. And the people there with country music albums and their cupcakes, those are the real punk rockers. And I'm serious. Like, punk is about not giving a shit about what anyone else thinks. So, you know, if you want to take a Johnny Cash record to a punk rock flea market, then that's exactly where it belongs.
True.
That's what I'm saying. But
visiting with the McGannons, we had fun with them. We didn't get to do it like we wanted to, though.
Yeah, I didn't really get to talk to him much because of the space restrictions.
Right, in that regards, I wish it would have been in a bigger place and we could have visited more. So that made it doubly more enjoyable that we got to visit with them the night before.
That, you know, they did mention they had already, this wasn't their first location. This was an upgrade from their past location.
This is the people that actually do the flea market.
Which means that they're only going to, they need a bigger venue already. And this is only their third year? I think.
Yeah, because it's Jonathan.
It was definitely anybody that wants to get some hardcore punk rock memorabilia or some cupcakes or a Johnny Cash album.
Or Tupperware.
they have it all. Check out Tulsa's Punk Rock Flea Market next year.
So cool.
It's a really good time.
And it happens twice a year.
Yeah, it's more than a year. It's bi-yearly, which is also very punk.
And we did a nice group photo with the McGannons. Yeah. My favorite part.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Then, of course, we said goodbye, and they had to drag me out because I was saying goodbye to everybody.
I was just grumpy. I wasn't grumpy at them. I was grumpy because when I, you know, like, I brought money to spend there, you know, the exact opposite of Lenny. And
It isn't like I have money and I was hoarding it and like I'm not going to spend this money there.
Well, no.
It's like there wasn't, the money didn't exist.
I took money specifically for this festival. It's not a festival, flea market. And so I spent, you know, I spent what I wanted, you know, got everything. Literally had not a dollar left. And
then you were ready to go.
By that time. And, you know, and I did give you all some grace. I gave you a grace period to say bye. But after a while, I was done. I was like, no, I'm out.
Well, yeah, but
the real insanity is cool. We were planning on leaving this thing at like 5 in the evening. We left at like 2. 1:30. No, wait. April left at 1. Jonathan left about 1:30 and came back and informed us that April was not happy about her leaving alone. And then about 2, we meandered out and got out of there. And yeah, it was still getting back to Lake at like 1:30.
In the morning.
On the dot.
And now we got to talk about
the trip
or incident. So what happened was it was actually a pretty smooth ride up until outside of Dodge.
Yeah.
Then we also had one other little side trip.
I don't even remember what happened. Yeah, don't look at me. Go
we
ahead,
did
go
a little ahead. Side trip when we climbed up the plateau.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice.
And Jonathan
Jonathan was so salty.
The Gloss Mountain.
Because what you do is you go up these really sketch stairs way up high to the top, and you can walk around the perimeter, which, as Jonathan wished to do.
Obviously, he wanted to walk around the perimeter.
And we were like,
he cared to.
And we were like, Jonathan, this was not on our schedule. That's going to take so long. I mean, it's not that we didn't want to. It was just that we didn't have the time to, Jonathan. We weren't against you personally.
But we did have the time to, because we certainly did it.
I don't think it went all the way around.
We even went back to check the other side of the mountain. And by we, I mean you.
So we are sorry. But like I said, that just gives you an excuse to go back. Travel some more.
There you go.
So then we're coming back and we're just outside of Dodge. And right. I'm in the back.
You and April are going through music.
We're doing music at the time. And all of a sudden, what? Oh, shit.
Yeah,
and like this car is like, I could lick it from the back
but
seat.
But it's not a it's car. Like,
yeah, whatever it was. It was right.
It was a guy in the middle of the road.
Oh, the car was on the side of the road, but the idiot, no, because did a car stop in front of us?
No.
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 No. We stopped in front of a person.
I remember that.
There must have been another car like right beside us or something.
Well, there was
I remember seeing a white car with red tail lights.
There was a truck on the side of the road, and then there was a pickup that had flashers on. And I slowed down, pulled out to about 40 to get around it.
Yeah.
And then I saw another flasher in front of me, so I was like, okay, there's something else going on. So I was pulling out
and
talking with Jonathan at the same time, kind of glancing back and forth.
I wanted to get out of that
car
and
rip
that dude's head off.
Kept moving into my path, and eventually I saw the human silhouette, and I slammed on the brakes.
It was in the evening, and this guy was a moron.
He was wearing dark clothes; like everything he wore was dark.
And he did have something flashing, but
it
wasn't
a flashlight. It was a normal flashlight, which is the same color.
He was going like this.
Well, it's the same color as an average headlight. So,
not the blue ones, but the average ones.
And we were just like, you could have had a brighter flashlight.
Well, how
no,
should
first
safety
off,
or safety.
On.
First off, safety vest, yes, but he should have had a flare 300 feet behind
that's
that
what
truck,
you were saying.
And then 100 feet, and then 30 feet. Like, he was out there directing traffic, and he was looking at us like, you idiots.
I wanted to get out
and rip his skin off of his face.
Lenny was halfway out the back. What is,
Calm down, Lenny.
Seriously.
I'm going to get his tags.
I have a little bit of history with truck. I'm not a truck driver, but I know a lot of truck drivers personally. And this guy was giving truck drivers a bad name. And he was endangering himself and being an asshole at the same
time.
Well,
the fact that he wasn't like, he wasn't even like halfway scared when we about hit him. He would just looked at us like,
He looked angry.
You dummy.
I was super angry to go back with it. We could have really got our anger going.
Yeah, because I was talking to Dad about it afterwards, you know, when we got home, and I was like, you know what? Even if you had pulled out like you did, if we had been going even a little bit faster, I don't know if we, because when we braked, it was hard.
It wasn't, you know?
So that's why
I went forward.
That's why I was like,
Either way, man is lucky. If you're a truck driver and
please
you break down on the side of the highway, you have to use those little triangles in the little box that they make you put in every truck, or flares,
If Please. You don't have flares, yeah. get your ass out of my road. And I will, I swear I will get out and get your information and turn you in next time.
Not that we don't like you. We that, just want to keep you alive.
That guy right there was an idiot. Yeah, and I really hope he listens to this.
It got my adrenaline pumping real good for the rest of the drive
you're
home.
You're an idiot, sir. A dumb idiot. And you should be dead. Luckily, Richard's a good driver.
But then we
but
got,
you're an idiot.
But then we got home, dropped off Jonathan, talked there for a little bit, dropped off Lenny, talked there for a little bit.
Home, talked there for a little bit.
It was another late night.
And then Dad recommended on the drive back, so you guys think we're gonna record them tomorrow? And I was like, hell no. It's like, we're gonna be so tired of each other.
Yeah.
And then I got a text, we're not recording
like
tomorrow.
Obviously.
Yeah. Honestly, I wanted to record, but only because a lot of this stuff isn't that fresh now. Yeah. It's been a little while, and it would have been nice to get these in the can the next day when it was really fresh in my mind. But of course, we were drained. I couldn't talk. I came into the library the next morning, and this guy was walking around like a zombie. he sounded like me. It sounded like he'd been smoking about 37 cigarettes an hour, and like he sounded like he was fixing to start speaking through his trach. And
oh my gosh,
his
eyes
were bloodshot.
Does that a lot.
Yeah, I mean it was intensely. We were all jet lagged, yeah. but it was good, and I really enjoyed, especially the Tulsa leg of the trip, because you know, it was for me. You know, with you guys, I understand when you went to Starbase Studios, that was a reconnection. You've been there. You have met some of the people,
but
talked to them previously.
Yeah.
And then for me, like reconnecting with people that, you know, that I've met previously and like in a new place and
put it on silent.
It was really neat. Not to downplay that I did have a great time at the other place, but the Tulsa part of the trip was definitely my favorite. We were standing in this line. I got to tell one more little story about the haunted house. Jonathan let us skip right past it, and no. We were standing in this line, and they have these men dressed up in these costumes to scare
not
people.
How
are
you
going
to bring that up, actually?
They weren't. Oh, well, it's, yeah.
Go for it. Last story.
Excuse me.
Go.
Jonathan.
Well, I was going to actually bring up the fact that you got pissed at that one clown dude.
Well, that wasn't where I was going.
Okay. Well,
you didn't piss on the clown dude.
Put a pin in that. I didn't piss on him. I got pissed off at him, but that's a different thing. Put a pin in that. You can tell that right after this. I just want to tell my little story because it's stupid and it's short. Classic me. So we're going through this line, and I see these guys heckling people. They have these plastic drums set up, and they have these weapons, and they're banging on them, and you know they're making people jump, and you know freaking them out. And the first thing I think whenever I get into a situation like that with big aggressive men that are going to possibly try to scare me for laughs, not mine. I want to throw them off and kind of get, like, I pay a lot of attention to them. Instead of trying to ignore them or just try to not be noticed, I try to get noticed. And so I try to mess with them and, you know, and get a little under their skin. And this will segue right into Jonathan's story, which is better. But so this one's dressed up like a demon, and he's the first one we come to. And he comes right up to me, and I'm coming right up to him, and I'm like, Mom.
And he literally just stops.
Then he went and talked to the clown. We're on the bad list after that. Take it away, Jonathan. This segues into Jonathan's tale of horror.
So we just get out of the first house. I'm like, you know, I see this killer clown. I'm like, I liked him. He did his job.
Jonathan had been facing his fear because the clown had been scaring him all night.
And I offered off my hand, and he just looks at my hand, and then he looks at me, and he looks at my hand, and I was like, oh, are we just going to have a staring contest now?
You should have stared at him.
And I'm going to have to say this.
We were having a staring contest.
I've already said it to absolutely everyone that will listen to me, and so now, if anyone else is listening to me, also hear this. I thought the guy was... Jonathan had been scared, like April said, by this guy a little bit. He was a pretty scary clown, and Jonathan doesn't have a thing for clowns. You know, so he was trying to be like the big man, like, you know, he was like, okay, you scared me, good job. I've come out of the haunted house, we've had our laugh. It was super scary, I'm going to go have nightmares, but I'm going to shake your hand because, you know, you did your job or whatever, and I'm just, he was facing his fear, like April said, and this guy just, like, snubbed him, and I was like, you know what, dude, you know, it may be a long night, you know, you may have scared a lot of people, and this guy didn't really impress you as how scared he got or whatever, maybe you didn't remember him. But
you're getting, that guy got, you were, you know, you were getting paid for that. That was your job. And you just treated your customer who spent a lot of his money at your job like a piece of crap. And I just want you to know, if I was your boss, you'd have been canned on the spot. And like, that guy was so rude and so like, he was trying to be a scary bully in the crowd, and he carried his bully a little too far. And I, and honestly, like, that was a situation where I was like, great haunted house. They did a super good job building you up. They were trying to scare you. I mean, they had this one girl pissing her pants in the crowd. She ran across the parking lot from the same clown. So he was scaring people. And he definitely scared Jonathan. He had Jonathan move a couple times to get away from him. You know, I kind of felt bad. I thought, like, maybe, like, the mom joke, like, ruined it for Jonathan because they kind of were like, you know, those guys are assholes because of me. But, you know, like, if that was the case, then say something to me. You know, this, I don't know, it's just like, it would, to me, it was in poor taste. And I had to mention that because it was the tall clown with the half-burnt face. Hex House people, fire him. And he's a jerk.
I lost all interest in him after I heard his voice because he was like, he was talking to the black girl and he was like, what did you say? And I'm like, really? You couldn't have came up with something better?
Well, I think the high-pitched clown voice is kind of part of it. Maybe he was doing that on purpose.
I know, but I mean,
you didn't. He wasn't scary anymore.
The minute that he did that, I was like, really, dude?
Maybe that's his real voice, and that's what his problem is.
I was like, you're making this scary-ass clown sound like he got kicked in the balls or something, and they went up.
I never got close enough to him to hear his voice, but that's funny
because. Right after he said that, you weren't that scary.
I remember a very specific time when he was kind of like on the border of the people of the line, and he was kind of like scanning, like, okay.
And he saw me, and he waved at me.
Jonathan, and he like, you know, took notice, you know, because Jonathan's all scared. But then me
turning white, like literally, yeah, standing
and
up.
They hate you, and I wasn't scared of him, you know, I'm looking at
and
him
all
too.
He did was,
so he kind of sees us, so he's just like, damn it.
Whatever. obviously, they want to stay more with the people that, you know, maybe shaking somebody's hand out front would be like, oh, that's not scary. But the ride was over, you know? And the thing is, he was standing there talking to his girlfriend.
And
like,
we weren't in front of the lines. We had a corner to walk.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And then we would have hit the lines. He was obviously on a break or just relaxing. It was almost over for the night.
And it's over for us for the night, too. I said one more story. We're running a little late. We're having fun. We might, if we want to, we can pick this up again. But I've been told the little chimes you've been hearing is mom saying time to go.
What time is it?
So we're going to wrap it up for
April's
mom.
April's going to turn into a pumpkin.
Yes, we're wrapping up for mom. But we just want to say thank you to DC, Michael, Holly, and Nathaniel. It was great seeing you again. Great host. We enjoyed visiting with you. We hope everybody out there has enjoyed listening to us tonight, recapping our events in Tulsa. We've had fun there. Hope you've had fun listening to us. We'll see you guys on the next trip.
Bye.
Except for that trucker, you're dead to me. Bye.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.